Welcome to Hungry for God Church, a free weekly podcast. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Weapons of our warfare, all that stuff, none of us earned it. I'll be like Jay today. I'm using the backboard. Jay's not here today. Our pastor, Vernell J.R. Samuel, he's out preaching today. And he gave me the responsibility of doing a brief teaching of something that we really feel is fundamental to this house. And I really believe in all my heart that this fundamental thing of grace is the missing link to us as a body becoming perfect, becoming a spotless bride without wrinkle. Because the one thing you know in the Old Testament, and when a man married a woman, he was responsible for taking care of all her needs. Right? All her needs. We are God's woman. He is responsible for taking care of all our needs. Now, some of you guys are guys like, no, I'm a man. Yes, you are a man. Metaphorically, you are God's bride. You are a woman. And he says, you know what? I want to marry you. Now, you're only married to God if you accepted Christ. Let's get that straight. You're only married to God if you accepted Christ. Christ is your wedding band of such, or your vows, whatever you want it, however you want to take it. But God, when that happened, he said, I'm going to take care of you. And this is how I'm going to take care of you. By grace. Grace is something you get in what you don't deserve. I know I might offend a few ladies when I say this, but hopefully not. You guys see it in perspective of what I'm going to say. Being taken care of as a married woman is a gift of grace. I know, ladies look at me like, wait, what? It started in the garden. When Adam and Eve came together, there was a grace made where Adam can provide for his wife. But the grace to provide was never given to the wife. Right? It was given to Adam first. He was taken care of, he was tilling the ground, and he was doing all that. And he was doing that all through God working in him. When he got the woman, there was the grace was already there. The trees, everything was already in the garden. She didn't have to go plant the seed. She didn't have to go do anything. All she had to do was go pick the apple from the tree and do whatever it might be. Everything was there. Right? That's grace. That's getting what you don't deserve. Eve never planted a seed. Eve never named the animal to know, oh, that's chicken, that's beef. She never had that. It was grace. Right? You guys get that?
Yeah.
So now Adam says, so this grace that I have, because you're my wife, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Now you can take, you can have that too. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Make sense, ladies?
Yeah.
You guys get me?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm safe.
Okay. So this grace supplies everything that we need. But the Bible says that Jesus grew in grace and truth. Most of us don't understand how to grow in grace. Anybody know how to grow in grace? Through obedience, right? Christ grew in stature. So that's one of the obedience. But all those things work for us personal. How does that relate to us as a church? As Hungry for God Church, there's a grace in this house. How do we grow in grace as a house? And it's something Jay says, okay, we have all these people, we have people that come to our church, and Jay's responsible for making sure, as a shepherd of this house, making sure that everybody grows. And the New Testament church, we're called to grow in grace. So how, as a house, do we get our house to grow in grace?
Love.
Love is a component of it. But all these things are wrapped up in love, as we believe as our house. So I've said this multiple times before at a church, and I've said it as a welcome. We didn't do this consciously, but it kind of happened to work in alignment. You know, God always works things all together, right? Our name of our church is H4G. It's Hungry for God, right? The number four, God. But as a church, we also have something we call the four G's. Anybody know our four G's?
Gifts.
What?
Groups is one.
Groups. Groups.
Giving, right?
Given.
Growth.
We believe as a house, this is how we're going to grow in grace. With these four G's. Jay actually talked to teacher this, and he's like, okay, I know you're going to teach it because I know you understand what it means and you're going to teach it right, so hopefully I'm going to teach this right. With God's help, all right? We have to understand one thing. From grace comes gifts. From grace comes gifts. The Bible says gifts comes without repentance. That means even people outside of these four walls of the church has been given a gift by God, even though they didn't repent and say, hey, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the context of repentance means, right? Gifts come without repentance. Gifts come without you subjecting yourself under the Jesus, right? Because God, he's a provider. He's a good dad, right?
Yeah.
He's not a deadbeat dad. He always provides for his kids, even if his kids are bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Even if his kids are bad, I'm not going to going to say that. I'm not going to say that because that's just the world way of saying it. I'm not going to say that. But even if your kids are his kids are bad, he's still going to provide for them. So through grace, we get gifts. We have two types of gifts, right? We have natural gifts that allows us to earn wages and do things and being able to earn money and buy food on the table, right? But then we also have spiritual gifts. We believe as a house, we believe that God gives gifts in alignment with purpose. So he's never going to give you a gift that you're not going to say, oh, I have this gift, but I don't think I'm supposed to use it. That you're saying that God didn't know what he was doing when he gave you a certain gift. Or because the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. So you can see what you're saying is that somehow, God, you messed up my plan. Chances are he didn't. Chances are you just don't understand it yet. Right? A lot of people, even when they're little and stuff like that, they're like, yo, I always have people following me even when I was little. I would do things and everybody wanted to do what I wanted to do. I would dress a certain way, everybody wants to dress the way I want to do. I would say, oh, everybody follow me and do this, and everybody would follow me. And you didn't know why people did it. That's because you're called to be a leader. You have the gift of leadership. You have a grace for it. So people naturally follow you, people naturally things around you. It's like, oh, why do people naturally do certain things around you? That's why you should start investigating. Why do people always ask me to cook food? Why do people always ask me to make something for them? It's because you have a grace for it. And they've seen that grace on you, so they ask you, hey, operate in your grace. Operate in what's been given to you.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's what it is, naturally. We make it all spooky and everything like that, but it's just that simple. Listen, the Bible says your gifts will make room for you, right, and it'll put you before great men.
Amen.
Yes. That simple. All right? Our sister Crystal here, I remember, I'm gonna share a little bit of Crystal's story. Hopefully she gives me liberty. But I remember I met Crystal like six months ago or something like that. I remember when. But Crystal was like, oh, everybody told me since I was little, I'm going to be a model, I'm going to be an actress and all this thing, but I don't see how it's happening. I don't know how it's going to happen. And she was starting to doubt it herself. Because she's like, I don't know. She heard a word from God. She left her family in Virginia. She came here. And then she started to say, you know what? I want to do acting. I want to do whatever it might be. And then she's like, I don't know. I know, but I know that this everybody told me. It's like, I got a word, and I believe the word. But then when she got here, she started to doubt the word. So I'm like, no. People told you that. Do you believe it? I believe, if you believe it, I'll pray for you on that. And I prayed for her, and I told her, and we met up, I talked to her, and I'm like, yo, we can pull out this stronghold. You gotta believe. Believe, like, a month or two later, she was like in a video, and she had a photo shoot and a meeting with some designer, and then all of a sudden she said one day she was sitting like in Union Square Park by her job, her temporary job, right? I said something, but her temporary job, and a casting director just scrolling through the park goes, hey, you look really nice. I have something that I think you will do good in. Just randomly. Just she thinks randomly. Right? And she said that most people told her that never happens. Nobody ever gets cast that way. Nobody ever just sits in the park and somebody just says, oh yeah, you're talented, you're cute. Hey, I have something where I can give you a job and you can earn you money.
Yeah, right?
Right? But this is how it worked. She had a grace for something. She was sitting there and somebody said, you know what? I see a grace on you. And this grace that you have, I know it can make you money. And they called her and they said, oh, I will have a commercial for you to shoot. And Crystal, and you, some of you guys might not have seen her, and because you guys might not look keen enough, and you guys might not know she was in it. But she's in a national commercial that shoots and all this broadcast over every TV station possible. For the iPhone 6 and AT&T. And she's in it. That's how gifts, grace, and how your gifts will make room for you, right, and put you before great men.
That's right.
It's that simple.
Yes.
But you just have to believe it. Because along the way, sometimes people tell us to stop believing in dreams.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My God. Yes.
And I believe this. I heard this quote a while ago. And it stuck with me. It says, someday you will be old enough to dream again.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Someday you will be old enough to dream again.
Wow.
Because sometimes dreaming takes maturity.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because maturity will allow you to dream something that childlike ignorance or bliss thought was possible. It's a little bit of an oxymoron, right? Maturity will allow you to dream something that childlikeness thought was possible. And it's a fact for a lot of people in our lives. We always had stuff in our hearts that we always wanted to do, but since we were younger, and all of a sudden we get older, we get like our late 20s, our late 30s, and we stop believing what people tell us we're supposed to be or what the world tells us we want to be. I'll say, you know what? We get that. I know what I'm talented in. I know what I'm gifted in, and I want to do that. Period. End of sentence. And all of a sudden, you start dreaming again, and you start chasing dreams.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
For most of us, for most people, dreams chase them all their lives. Dreams chase them. It says in the Bible, in Job, that in the middle of the night, while you're asleep, in your deep sleep, even in your deep sleep, God will put things down inside of you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, God.
And he puts them down in there for a reason. Because he knows one day you will need this dream. One day you will need what I put inside of you deep down in a deep night of sleep. And you didn't even know it was in there. And all of a sudden, it just bubbled up one day. You're like, oh, it just happened to me all of a sudden. No, it didn't happen all of a sudden. A seed was planted by God, and it's finally starting to bear fruit. It was placed in your spirit, and then your mind is finally starting to comprehend what your spirit already knew. Gifts works like that. And we believe as a house that we've all been given gifts. And as a house, we want everybody to function in their gifts. Because that's how, as a house, we're going to grow. Amen?
Amen.
I did it in the wrong order. But let's switch that up. I'm gonna make sure I do this right. What is the best atmosphere you think your gifts grow in?
I'm cheating because I know I've experienced it. Small groups.
Small groups. Gifts? Groups. Your gift, sometimes with you alone, might not do you any good. No, not might not. It will not do you any good. Your gifts, but you alone, will not do you any good. Because your gifts were meant to serve people. It was meant to serve people. So if you're not connected to anybody, you're not connected to people, you're going to get frustrated because you're going to be like, this thing I have, I know I'm talented in it, but it's not going anywhere. Because you're not connected to people, groups. We believe coming to church as a large congregation, like as a group, is great. These large congregational groups is great. We think it's awesome. But when somebody plants grapes for a grapevine, they never just say, all these seeds in this big thing here, they're all going to grow. No, they don't do that. They take time. And it says, okay, here's a row, here's a group. I'm putting this kind of grapes in this group. I'm putting this kind of grapes in this group. And every kind of different grapes, and eventually produce different kind of wine. You are the same way. You have to figure out a group that you're going to fit in that's going to allow your grape to become a vine.
Come on. Come mm-hmm. on.
A lot of us have seeds, but God meant it to be vines, to reach, to stretch. Mm-hmm. Right? That happens in groups. If you're part of Hungry for God Church and you've never been part of a tribe or a small group and you're frustrated, it's probably because that's why. I'm going to be blunt with you. A lot of people can attest to that they didn't start going after the things that God has for them until they start connecting to groups. Crystal, right? Danaya, Coco, she just said it. Right? It's essential because when you feel like quitting, there's somebody in that group that won't let you quit. But if you stay in a large group like this, most people will not remember. It's not because they're bad people or they don't care about you. It's just because sometimes they get caught up in their own things and they just say, there is like 40 people. I can't remember everybody's gifts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if I connect to like 5 or 6 people that know my gift, they're going to be like, hey, what happened to that gift that you said that you wanted to work on? You said you wanted to create that line of clothes, or you said you wanted to start that business. What happened to it? You said you started filing the paperwork, but I never heard you say anything else after that. What happened? They're gonna call to your remembrance those things. And I'm saying like, oh yeah, yeah. I slack a little bit, but you're gonna say, okay, I need to get back on that.
Right.
Somebody's correcting you, getting you back on that path.
Okay.
You need that group. You need those groups to be there. So my challenge for everybody that's been coming to Hungry for God Church, you've been coming for God Church, join a tribe. Join a small group. It is the best atmosphere for growth that you will ever have. And that leads me to your next one, which is, I just said it.
Growth.
Growth. as a church, we're not going to grow in numbers until our members start to grow in purpose.
Yeah, preach that.
Because a church that's not full of people that are with purpose is a church that doesn't have purpose.
Come on.
If anybody tells me they've been going to a church for like 20, 30 years or whatever in their life, and they're still the same way, like, yeah, I just go here and I do this, and I've been doing this for the last 20, 30 years, and you've been doing the same, you're in the same position you've been for the last 20, 30 years doing the same thing, and there's no growth in that position, there's no growth in your duties, no growth in anything in that in your life. Sorry to tell you, but you are a tree that is withering away. Because you're meant to grow.
Yes.
You're meant to grow. If Jesus grew in grace and in truth in his life, why do you think in your life that there's going to be a point where you never grow? When Jesus saw a tree that wasn't bearing fruit out of its season, he cursed it. He's like, tree, you're supposed to bear fruit. Why are you not bearing fruit? I cursed you. And when they came back around, that tree withered away and died. Because you're no longer fulfilling your purpose, tree. You have, so you know what? I'm taking you out. You don't matter anymore. If you are a tree and your fruit on your tree are not coming, man, you better start doing some pruning. Figure out what needs to be cut off. Figure out what needs to be watered, because that tree, oh my Lord, is gonna die. Miles Monroe says the richest place in the world is a graveyard.
True.
Because that's where dreams go to die.
That's right.
They said that the graveyard is the place where there's the most unwritten books, the business that have not been started, the inventions that have not been made. You don't want to be a graveyard. You don't want to be the place where dreams go to die. You got to grow. You have to figure out how to grow. My personal suggestion, do this. Connect to groups. Connect to people that are going to challenge you. People that are going to call you up, not talk you down. All right? Trying to do this quickly, okay, 4:35. All right. I've looked at my notes to hopefully make sure I'm making sure I'm saying stuff that I've written down. Stewarding God's manifest presence on earth is the call of the New Testament church. We believe the model for stewarding this must follow the New Testament model. In the New Testament church, I don't like flipping through a lot of scriptures because I feel like it takes up a lot of time, but we're gonna do a couple of flipping really quick. Right? The New Testament church followed this model. And Jay and I, we didn't quite, God told us 4 G's, we took it, we thought it was good, we thought it made sense for our church. But then God says, no, this is how my church grew in the New Testament. We're like, how did that happen? 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to give, so you guys don't think this is just Ryan on his soapbox saying stuff. I want to give you guys some scripture, just so you guys feel like I'm not some motivational speaker or something. 1 Corinthians 14. Everybody got it? It's one of the most important things that we must understand. It starts off this. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, pursue love, which is what Pretty said, right? We need love. And as a church, we believe that's important. But love that we, the way that we love, whenever it might be, happens here. People that love you, in those groups, when you have things that you start doing and say, hey, I love you, and what you have, that gift that you had, needs to go forth. It needs to happen. People that love you will make sure that you fulfill your purpose. Love is just not a feeling only. Everybody gets, oh, I fell in love. I had a feeling. I saw the look in his eyes. She gave me the look. Yeah. You might have felt love, but you didn't know what love was until you actually made that choice. Because love always chooses. It always chooses. The Bible said God is love, and he chose you. He said, oh, you're cute. I love you. Oh, you're cute too. I love you. He chose you because he loved you. Bible said you're a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. Let y'all get it straight. You never chose God. God chose you first. He was just waiting for you to answer. He's not a stalker. Some people say, my stalker chose me too, but I never chose him. That's a completely different story. Your stalker never loved you. All right? So pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you must prophesy. I'm gonna skip down a little bit. Actually, let's go back. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 first. Let's go back to that first. Because I want to set the foundation of what that said. 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Jay's been teaching on spiritual gifts on Tuesday nights with Bible studies. If you haven't come out to that, you're missing a phenomenal time. Please come out Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m. Be here. It's phenomenal. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. So you saw that? He says, when you were pagans, when you were in the world, when you're doing all whatever you wanted to do, you were led by something. So he gave them excuses. Like, understand, you were in the world, you were doing stuff, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you, no one speaks by the Spirit of God, saying Jesus is a curse. And no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's saying that you're not going to get certain things from God unless you're led by a certain thing. Because in the world, you were led by something. But now that you're in Christ, you're going to be need to led by something else. Right? Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Right? For the common good. You're given your gifts for the common good. Right? Groups. Right? You're given gifts for the common good. You're given gifts for groups. You're not given gifts for you. You're given gifts for groups. All right? Just want to make sure you got that scriptural back in so you don't feel like I'm so lost. Okay? We good?
Yeah.
All right. Real quick. So here at H4G, we have the four gifts, the four G's, gifts, growth, groups, and giving. These things must be done because they were meant to function and fuel not by our works. However, by the fuel heaven provides called grace. Right? You will get frustrated in your gift if you only try to do everything all the time by yourself and you keep going and going and going and going and going. Dead works, right? But if you just rely on God's grace, it will take you further, right?
Yes.
Crystal, back to Crystal again. That's her testimony, right? She's like, you know what? I've been doing this over and over on my own, but I think she says, I'm not sure if she says somebody else says it, but she said, I think she says it, God is my agent, right? You says it? You said that, right? She said, God's my agent. She's like, yeah, God, you gave me this gift, so be my agent. Supply for me. Where's my grace for this gift?
Right.
Grace, gifts. It's connected. Don't try to do it on your own, because you will mess it up. Mm-hmm. All right?
All right.
The fuel for everything that you do comes through grace. The Bible says the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Listen, if Jesus didn't do nothing by himself, why do you want to do it? If Jesus says, I can't do it by myself, why do you want to do it by yourself? That's that self-entitlement, I want to be independent, and this whole concept, I'm going to say this is what I believe, you guys can take it up with me later. But this whole, I'm an independent man and I'm an independent woman, no you're not.
No,
you never were and you never will be.
Yep.
Because everything that you have depends on God. Period. So this whole, I'm an independent woman, I don't need nobody, I don't need anybody else in my life, I can do it all on my own.
Lies.
It will have you alone. As a man, as you want to chase cars, you want to chase houses, and you said, all I need is my house, my car, my money, and I'll be good and I'll be independent, you'll end up alone as well.
Yeah.
You're not independent. You're meant to function in groups and connected to people. Period. End of sentence. All right? And most people, real quick, most people that do that, they don't experience this. Most people think they're independent and they're growing in riches and in money, whatever it might be, they're still like kids. They're still immature. They still don't. They still go from here and there and don't know where to settle down, and they go all over the place because they're not growing. You know, they're not never connected to anybody that challenged them and says, "Hey, what you're thinking is wrong. It needs to get fixed. What are you doing with that much money right now? That's not right. That needs to change." That's why groups help you, because somebody's going to challenge you because they love you. Yeah. All right? I want to wrap this up real quick. I want to jump to the last one. Giving. Luke 4, real quick. This is going to be my last scripture. Jump down to verse 20. Acts 4. Let's jump down. Verse 32. It says, and the congregation of those who believed, were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belongs to him alone. The congregation, all who one accord, one heart, one soul, on the Christ. This is the New Testament church. This is Acts 1 is like where the New Testament church, people began believing, and many were baptized. Acts 1 is like the culmination of the new church after Jesus died and resurrected. Acts 1 is like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where everybody got, over 2,000 people got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that was thought to be the culmination of the new church, New Testament church. This is Acts 4, a little bit further down. So let me explain real quick how I want to connect to that in. So the new church, in Acts 1, by grace, they got an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. By grace, they got an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which endowed them with gifts, spiritual gifts, right? And understand how those gifts work. Those people that had those gifts, the Bible says, if you read from Acts 1 up to Acts 4, it talks about how the church grew. Those church grew because there were small groups meeting. There were groups meeting from house to house. They weren't meeting in synagogues and connected. They were going from house to house. So they can't fit thousands of people in a house. Right? So small groups of people connected in houses, and they were connected to each other, and they were saying, oh, you have a gift, oh, you have a gift. And they're connecting, all these people are connected, and that's how they grew. And that's how you get to the Acts 4 version of the church, where they're growing, and they said, oh, we're growing. And they finally come and say, hey, we're growing so much, and I finally understand this thing, that all these things I've been given, all this growth that happened, is not my own. I'm called to give. I'm called to share this with other people. Yeah. Right? So this is what I'm reading from you in Acts 4:32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belongs to him was his own. But all things were common property to them as a body. Because they understand that, hey, this thing that I have, I know I need to feed my family, I need to do this, but as a whole, I know that I'm called to help people.
Yeah.
Right? You're called to help people. We all have different capacities, we all have different gifts, we all have different administrations or different things we need to operate, but all those things fall under one category, help people. All right? And with great power, the apostles were given testimonies to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundance of grace was upon them. See that? You guys see that?
Yeah.
Their giving came out of an abundance of grace. It started here, and it started to grow. The grace started to grow, And he said, oh, I get it now. All that growth that's been happening, all that abundance of grace, I'm supposed to be given. You get that?
Yeah.
This is why we need to grow in grace. Because once you start to learn how to grow in grace, giving is going to become easier for you.
Very.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have so much grace in your life that stuff's going to start happening to you. You're going to be like, oh, I have more than enough. I have an abundance of grace. Because I took my gift, I connected to people, I started to grow, and all of a sudden, I can give.
Yeah.
Because I have this abundance. You might be here, and you want to get to here, but you can't get there by skipping steps. You're going to get frustrated because you're skipping. You're just like, I want to get here, but I'm here. Have you done any one of these two? Have you connected to people? Have they challenged you to grow? And have you seen that growth? Once that started happening, this is going to come. All right? And as you start to give, you're going to go through this cycle again. You're going to see, oh, wow. You ever notice certain people, like, I know people have been tearing him down in the media lately, but I'm using it as an example. Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry was homeless on the street, broke, had a little money in his bank account. He said, you know what? I'm going to wrap up with this story because it perfectly ties into all I just talked about. I had no money, and they say, you know what? I have no money, I have nothing. But I know I have a grace. I have this gift that God's given to me. To write plays and put on shows. Took all his money and everything he had. He was sleeping on the street, sleeping in a homeless shelter. Took all his money that he had, and he started putting on shows. He took his gift that God gave him by grace, and he started to connect to people. He put on his first show, nervous. First night, he didn't know if people were going to show up because he didn't sell tickets, whatever it might be. He just put on the show. First night, he opened the show, house packed. The house was packed. And all of a sudden, the guy that put on one play by his gift now owns a studio lot in Atlanta, Georgia, of like 30 acres where he produces shows, television shows, on large scales. Now, I'm not talking about like one or two shows. He has like five or six shows on network television, and he's collecting money. Connected to people, saw growth. Now, through that, before he started to step into that, there were black actors and actresses that couldn't get acting jobs in Hollywood because Hollywood wasn't writing scripts for them.
Yeah.
There was nobody that God gave that gift before that took the gift to his level where they're able to supply enough that they could start giving. To the point now, not only creating TV shows, he has Madea, he has all these other movies that he's put out there as well. To the point now where him and Oprah's best friends. a homeless man, he went from being homeless to Oprah's best friend. He went from being broke to being a billionaire's best friend. And he's chasing to be a billionaire himself. So he got an additional grace now that he's connected to. He's a millionaire. He's got connected. He got additional grace now. That God is saying, you know what? I'm connecting you to your gift. I'm upgrading your gift. You wanted to be a millionaire. I'm upgrading you to a billionaire. To the point that now the money that he's earning, he started to give money. He sold $1 million into T.D. Jakes' ministry. Wrote a check. $1 million. Mm-hmm. Didn't flinch. Man, I believe that some of y'all can write $1 million check and not flinch. Yeah. I believe that if you would take your gift, connect to people, grow, you will find you, and you start giving, you will have enough grace, and that gift will graduate your gift, and that you can write $1 million checks. And that you can go from being that girl who God was his agent to being the girl who now is able to supply stuff for everybody else that had dreams. To little girls that say, you know what, I had that same dream and I wanted to do that same thing. And you can be like, I'm your testimony. I'm prophesying to you that what happened to me can happen for you. Yeah. Amen. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. You can't prophesy to somebody if you don't have a testimony.
Jesus.
And you won't have a testimony if you don't learn how to use your gift, connect to people, grow, and give. This is why our house, we believe these 4 G's, and we believe that every single one of everybody in this house, if we start to do this, and we start to do life together as believers, that man, we're going to be a purpose-filled church with purpose-filled people, where dreams come to live.